Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, ladies. I am absolutely excited to be back with you to share part two of Being Pregnant with Destiny. When we last left off, we were on our second point. So I want to do like a recap real quick. I want to pray first and then we'll do a recap. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for loving us enough, Lord, to show us how to be fruitful, how to become the woman that you have created us to be. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, where we are trying to make seeking you not an event, but a lifestyle. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, ladies, so when I last left off, we were on our second point. And so for those who are just chiming in on part two, I would suggest that you go back and listen to part one so that you can get the fullness of this teaching. On part one, we discussed, number one, that we are called to produce. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28, that he told us to be fruitful and to multiply. This means that if you think about the word fruit, fruit is called produce. And we came from the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, where there was a man who had two wives. One was named Peninnah and the other was named Hannah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. And during biblical times, when a woman couldn't conceive, when she couldn't give birth, she was considered to be cursed. She was considered to be like an outcast because she couldn't give her husband heirs. She couldn't bring forth fruit. She couldn't produce. And so we noticed that every year that Hannah could not produce a child. So because of that, her husband gave her, he loved her more than he loved the other wife who could produce children. And so this led to our second point, which is provoked. Hannah was provoked because she saw Peninnah year after year having children with their husband. And so this is quite interesting because here it is, we understand that he has two wives, yet one of them can produce and one of them could not. So this means that he had the ability to produce. So why was this one woman able to produce and the other one was not? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like there were people around you or you could see that other people were being fruitful, that they were producing, that they were living their dreams, doing what they believed God was calling them to do, and yet somehow you had everything, but somehow you still could not conceive, you still could not produce, you still could not give birth to your dreams. And so oftentimes when we see other women living their dreams and we are not, this provokes us, not in a negative way. It shouldn't provoke you in a negative way where you become jealous and envy and spiteful and mean, but it should provoke us into a place of prayer where we begin to seek the Lord and say to the Lord, you know, I want to bear fruit. I want dreams of my own. I don't want to do what she's doing, but I want fruit. Lord, why am I not able to bear fruit? Because you said that the fruit of my womb is blessed, but yet I'm not able to produce any fruit in my life. I have many leaves. I have a car. I have a house. I have a mate. Yet I have a good job. But yet somehow I'm still not able to produce my dreams. I'm not able to become the woman that I dream of. And so that was Hannah's case. Hannah's husband was very wealthy. He would give her double portions. But yet it still wasn't enough, because the very thing that Hannah desired was to produce in her life. And so our first point was produce. Our second point was provoke. Our third point is pruning. Pruning. And remember that the Bible study notes, they will be available later today. Okay, so we're going to start out with John chapter 15, and we're going to go to verse 1. John 15, 1. And I am going to read this from the New Living Translation version. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. I want you to underline that. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. Okay? He told us to what? Number one, be fruitful. And then to multiply. He told us that in Genesis 1 and 28. Be fruitful and multiply. So number one, he cuts off everything in our lives that does not produce fruit. What area of your life are you not producing? What are you not producing? Right? He says, and then he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they can what? Produce even more fruit. Verse 3, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Then the verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in you will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's talk about that. Because so oftentimes, what I share with them in class is, just because it's good doesn't make it God. Right? Just because it's a good idea, it might not be God's purpose and plan for your life. I shared with them, there came a point in my life where I felt like I was laboring in vain. That everything that I was doing was, when you add it up, it still came to nothing. After I've gone through this relationship, it came up to be zero. After I tried this, it came up to zero. And so when you get tired of laboring in vain, when you get tired, I'm sure that's what Hannah was doing. Hannah was intimate with her husband, but it was coming to nothing. She wasn't able to produce. And so when you get sick and tired of laboring and going through the motions and trying this, and it not working, and doing a little bit of that, and that's not working, that will make you say, wait a minute, Lord, take everything in my life that is not of you. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. The Bible declares that those who labor, unless God builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain who build it. So he says the only way that we are able to bear fruit is if we are in him. Outside of him, we can do nothing. And so oftentimes what we end up doing is we go and we grab a slogan here or a saying here, and what we do is, this is what I'm going to do, and then we tag God, just like we do on social media. We tag other, we tag him, and then we post it and say that it is him. Because nobody, oftentimes people are not telling people that they should seek the Lord for a purpose, that they should seek the Lord as to what did he create you to do. What we do is we seek people. We allow people to tell us who we are and who we are not. We allow people to tell us who we should be, what we should be doing, how we should be doing, as though they are God. What I share with them in the class is, when people tell you who you are, you accept it. You say yes. But when God comes and tells you who he really called you to be, then you want a million confirmations. God, if that's really you, tell me. So how is it that when it comes to God, you need confirmations, but when it comes to people, you just run with it? Whatever they say, you run with it. Whatever they say you are, girl, you know what? I think you will be good at this. You run with it. And you end up laboring in vain because you did it outside of God. I shared with the ladies, when God tells you who you are, do not allow anybody to come and tell you who you are not. When God called me into ministry, I was 24 years old. I'm about to be 47. I was 24 years old. That was not part of my plan. I didn't ask him for that. I didn't ask for that. And so when he called me and different things began to happen and occur, I tried to go and talk to people who I thought could validate, could help me. Instead, what I ran into were people who were telling me who I was not. No, Sonia, God didn't call you to do that. And no, Sonia, I don't think that God would call you to do that. And it triggered something in me. It helped me to realize that they didn't call me, that they wasn't there when God began to deal with me. So why am I asking them anything about who he called me to be? He didn't do a conference call. He didn't chime them in. I did. And so I had to really seek him about who is it that he was calling me to be. Then I ran into people who said, no, Sonia, you can't be a prophet. You can't walk in that office, because at that particular time, women were only allowed to be evangelists or missionaries. No, Sonia, you cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because women are not allowed to do that. But so now what that did was that created internal conflict, because I was taking on the opinion of man with the call of God. That's good. Let me say that one more time. I was taking in the opinion of man and applying it to the call of God, which created internal conflict. So now I am in warfare within myself, simply because I chimed and I allowed the voice of people to dictate my call, the call that God was giving me. And so now he has to prune me and purge me and cleanse me of what people say. When you get to a point where you get sick and tired of laboring in vain and trying to walk according to what people say, God will come in and he will prune you and he will purge you and he will confirm to you, didn't I call you? I called before you were formed in thy mother's womb. He said, I ordained you. I called you. I sanctified you. They wasn't even around when I called you. So why are you going to ask people who you are when I formed you? I created you. I made you according to my likeness and according to my image. That ought to free somebody right there, simply because you can. I tell people how you know you're walking in destiny and how you know you're walking in purpose is when you don't have a posse. See, as long as you are walking your own way, you have many friends. You have many likes. You have many admirers. You have all of these things. But when you truly start walking in the call, the purpose of God for your life, no matter what that is, remember I told you, don't despise the gifts that God is giving you, no matter what they are. No matter what they are, don't despise it. That when you really start walking in that gift and in that purpose and in that calling, people are going to fall off. People are going to leave you. You're going to feel like you're going to be in a room full of people and still feel like you by yourself. I know that all too well. Because it's, as long as I am talking about fashion, beauty, it's okay. But the moment that I begin to talk about beautifying you through the word of God, I've had people to unsubscribe to the newsletter and people to not click like. But regardless of whether people unsubscribe or stay subscribed, whether people click like or don't like, I still have to continue to walk in purpose. I have to continue to walk into whom God has called me to be, because it is Him that I am going to have to answer to. It is you. It will be you who will have to answer to Him, because narrow is the way, right? So we have to understand that we cannot allow people to tell us who we are in God, right? He says, for without me, you can do nothing without me. We do so many things without Him. I'm not talking about going to church on Sunday and having perfect attendance and you being on the praise team or an usher board or any of those things. That's great. Talking about seeking Him. Going into prayer. Hannah went into prayer. She didn't take nobody with her. She went into prayer, and she began to seek the Lord about who it was that He called her to be, so that she can produce fruit in her life. So pruning means that I remove all unwanted, unproductive areas of my life. So number one is we're called to produce. Number two, God would allow you to be provoked into His presence, provoked into where you're seeking Him, provoked to where you go into a posture of prayer. Number three is pruning, okay? For without Him, we can do what? Nothing. Number four is praying. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 9. We're going to start at verse 9. And of course, these will be in your notes so you can read them at your leisure. And sometimes what most people do is they might listen to the message, and then they might look at their notes at the same time. Or if you're out and about, you can listen to the message by phone and then go back and review your notes. It's always good. Don't just take my word. I want you to go to the Word of God so that you can know the Word of God for yourself. That's the purpose of the Bible study. so that you can know the word of God for yourself. Okay, 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, verse 9. And I'm just going to kind of skim through here. It says, Hannah got up and went to pray. Okay? This was after she had been provoked by the other wives. She was made fun of. I want to stop right there real quick because as women, we have to stop bullying each other. We have to stop criticizing each other and talking about each other and pray for each other because we are all called to produce. We're all called to bear fruit, right? All right, so Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. It goes on to talk about the prayer that she made. If you go on down to verse, I believe it is verse 18, this is after she prayed and after the priest walked in and saw her praying. It says, "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. See, when you go into prayer, first of all, when you get sick and tired of laboring in vain, and then you go in, have you ever prayed to where You just weeped bitterly. You couldn't even, I mean, sometimes you couldn't even let the words come out of your mouth. But I'm so thankful to the Lord that sometimes even if we don't know what to say, He know our thoughts. He know our heart afar off. And this is what happened to her. She wept bitterly. And sometimes when you're not bearing fruit in your life, it will take you into a place of worship. It will take you into a place of praise. It will take you into a place of a position and a posture of prayer where you are really seeking the Lord. What was it about this time that made Hannah desperate? See, because the Bible says that she went up, they went up year after year. Year after year. She was barren year after year. See, and what did you say in 2001 that you said that you were going to do in 2002? What did you say in 2002 that you said you was going to do in 2003? What did you say in 2003 that you're still saying in 2016? Because it's year after year. And you tried this and it didn't work. And you tried that and that didn't work. And you thought about doing this and that didn't work. And you thought about it, but you didn't do anything about it because you said what God has for me is for me. And if He wants me to have it, He's going to give it to you. The devil lied to you. God doesn't operate like that. You have to go. He told them, He said, "Behold, I have given it to you. Go and possess it." That means that you have to go and grab hold of it. Because if He's just going to give it to you, you wouldn't have need faith. Because faith without works is dead being alone, right? So year after year, here it is, Hannah is going. She's bearing yet another year. She's going through the motions with her husband, but ain't nothing coming of it. So Hannah got tired of laboring in vain. She said, "I want to produce. I want to produce in my life," right? Because we need God, for without Him, what? We can do nothing. Okay? So number one, we're called to produce. Number two, God will allow us to be provoked. Three, He will prune us. Number four, He will create a place of prayer. Take us into a posture of prayer. So number five, the Bible, we talked about partnering. Partnering, okay? Partnering. After Hannah came out of prayer, the Bible goes on to say that her husband and her were intimate, and God opened up her womb. I believe that her womb was opened up in prayer. Oh, that's a good place to be. Her womb was opened up in prayer, that when her and her husband became intimate, she was now able to conceive. See, if we are going to produce any fruit this year in our lives, it's going to be, our wombs are going to be opened up in prayer. Right? And then we're going to partner. Right? So let's go to, I love this, and this is our last point. Let's go real quick to Luke. Luke 1, we only have a few minutes left. Luke 1 and 36. Luke 1, yes, verse 36. Let me go here. It says, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. I don't care if you failed at something before. If you tried it and tried it and tried it again, if God has a promise over your life, you will produce. You will not have an abortion. You will not miscarry your dreams. Because the enemy used to try to taunt me and tell me that I was cursed. Because God had given me so much, I didn't think that I was able to produce. I didn't think that I was able to bring forth fruit. And so here it is. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Verse 39, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth, and the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. Excuse me. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Can I just share with you in this last minute? It is time for you to partner up with people who make your baby leap. It is time to partner up with people who is going to bring joy into your life. It is time to partner up with other women who are pregnant like you. It is time out for partnering up with people who criticize you and talk about you and stab you in the back. I declare that this is the year that you surround yourself with like-minded women who are pregnant with destiny, not just doing a good thing, but who's doing a God thing, God is going to surround you with people who are going to make your baby leap. So that means for your vision, he is going to bring provision. Because some of you have more vision than you have money. So we thank him that this is the year that we are going to conceive, that we are going to produce. And so I just thank God for this lesson. Our time is up. Join us, time. For the Essence of a Woman's Bible Study. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ. Until next time, bye-bye.